Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Lineup Logic Daily Fantasy Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm Sean Kane. I'm your host. Episode 7 of Lineup Logic, just rolling along here every day, breaking down these slates. I appreciate everyone listening. Just as an update, still on SoundCloud, still on Blueberry, trying to get ourselves into Stitcher and iTunes, into your normal podcast feed shortly. Should happen. Keep it posted. Got some great logo work done, some design work done from a good friend of mine. She crushed the new logo, so I'm pumped about that. If you do like the show and you're listening regularly, please retweet, comment, share, talk to me. I'm a real guy. I'm here in front of the computer on Twitter. Interact. Let's do this, man. I'm absolutely loving catching up with lineup providers, DFS players, stuff like that. So if you do retweet and like the show, I'm eternally grateful. Happy to throw you a shout out, and even more happy, like I say every day, happy to talk DFS, man. Happy to talk lineups. Happy to talk. Different slates and players and games and stuff like that on Twitter. So it is Thursday the 12th. We have more NBA to come tonight. We're gonna jump into this slate. It's kind of funny. We have two different slates. You have the all day, which starts at 3 because of the Denver Indiana game. If you're looking at projections and you're looking at stuff like that. No, there's two different slates tonight, beyond like just the normal express and everything like that. You have a 3-day, 3 p.m. all day slate, and then the 7 p.m. main slate. So I'm going to give you notes on both, because I know people are going to want to play that main slate, because that Indiana-Denver game is pretty juicy. It's nice. I really like that game today. Before I go too far, though, shout out today, shout outs to @NephewBerry, 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 lineup provider, continuing the love for the pod. Thank you, sir, very much. And DFS FanDuel lineups, shout out to him. Dude rolled last night, 334. 334, and I was joking with him saying, dude, you must have faded the Cavs, because there was no way you hit that number with Kyrie, LeBron, or K-Love in your lineup, which was so frustrating for me. So hit up @FanDuel_NBADFS. That's @FanDuel_NBADFS. These lineup providers, man, they're doing work. These guys are hitting. They're hitting cash every night. So if you need help getting back in the money, those are your guys to see on Twitter. Hey, if you are a lineup provider, find me on Twitter. I'm happy to shout you guys out. I'm a DFS junkie, and I love DFS junkies. In the next hour, we're going to preview the night to come, NBA spreads, injury news, and then we'll break down players on the slate to target. Before we do that, let's go ahead and jump into the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. All right, so last night, missed cash, man. Just to be honest, we did not hit. We did not hit. So we're down to 5-2. It's frustrating, very frustrating, to only hit 280. And really it's down, it comes down to a very, very, very scary number, 4x. We're always targeting guys who are in a position to hit 5x, that cash core, right? Building that lineup. 4x is a dangerous number. John Wall, Montrezl Harrell, they hurt us by going 4x. Right, you lose a quick 10 points right there, and then 3x was even worse. So went to sleep with Kevin Love and Jamal Crawford and Aminu and said, do your job, go hit value, and K Love completely whiffed, as did Crawford. It's frustrating because I didn't take my own advice, right? Blazers are better against the power forward than they have been recently. We knew that. We broke that down. Get off of Love. You know, don't pay up for power forward. Pay up for a mid-tier center, you know, an Embiid or DeAndre Jordan, who both had great games last night. Could have freed up some money maybe to get off of Crawford and get on to Redick, who is the starter and gets more consistent run over Crawford. Anyway, you know, it's just sometimes you have to lose in order to learn, realize, you know, what you are, what mistakes you're making. You know, you have to look back at your lineups to understand where those mistakes happen. And there's some mistakes in this lineup, to be honest with you. Not a ton, because if Love and Crawford hit value, we cash, you know, but they didn't. So that's that. One thing I want to, you know, every once in a while, I'll give you guys some resources to go check out. One of my favorite pros in the industry are some of the guys over at Number Fire, specifically running the NBA Heat Check podcast. It's Brandon Gundula and Jim Saunas. They're, you know, they're writers and editors for Number Fire. So, you know, they're fantasy pros. But, you know, you listen to Brandon Gundula, he's like, he is a stats monster, and I feel like listening to him, I'm actively learning the 10 commandments of, like, NBA DFS cash games. Really enlightening stuff. Gundula makes sure he's skeptical about virtually everyone until he knows that their minutes are secure, the rotations are clear, you know, never wants to play a situation where a guy is coming off the bench and has a murky role, you know, preaches to avoid streaky shooters and lean towards more well-rounded players who stuff the stat sheet, rebounds, and assists, because it's just more, you know, they're more, more well-balanced plays. They're more likely to be consistent. It's just incredibly wise. He preaches up, you know, and then bottom-up lineup design. So locking in the value plays that you feel are really secure, safe, based on minutes, based on the way that they play, and then go up the ladder, build from there. Just really, really smart stuff. So give that show a listen. It's the DFS Heat Check. It's on Number Fire. We all know Number Fire, of course. And hit those guys up on Twitter if you end up listening to the show. Gundula13 and Jim Saunas, Saunes. They are beyond friendly and always willing to share resources and thoughts about NBA DFS. All right, we got a nice little slate, like I mentioned today. We got the 3 o'clock slate, but we also have the main slate. So let's go ahead and jump into the schedule and spreads for this evening. All right, starting it off. Over in London, the Pacers and the Nuggets. I don't know why they're in London, but they are, and they've been there for a little while, and a lot of people on the Nuggets are sick. So there's a ton of game time decisions on the Nuggets because of illness and minor nicks and stuff like that. The total in this one is 223. Pacers favored by 4. So it should be kind of a toss up. You know, nice pace up game against Denver. Denver, not a wonderfully good defensive team. So, you like some of the Pacers in this one, and you like some of the Nuggets in this one as well, because Indiana is good, not great. But you got to pay attention to some of the injury news on the Denver side of the ball. Kenneth Faried, game time decision. Gallinari, game time decision. Jokic, sick. He's one of the guys who is sick. Gary Harris, nursing a groin injury. So, you know, if any of these guys actually end up sitting, then you're going to see some nice plays pop up. You know, if Faried sits, Jokic is a lock. If Harris sits, it's Will Barton. If Gallinari sits, it's Wilson Chandler. Because, you know, they kind of have these very clear rotations in Denver where those guys trade out and in and out. So, you know, some interesting plays there. Keep your eyes on the news if you want to play the 3 o'clock slate and play Denver players. Okay, but now moving on to the main slate, which is only a 5-game slate. So it's okay. It's a little complicated. It's kind of a strange slate, but some decent plays. You know, not as bad as Monday, for example. We've got New Orleans at Brooklyn. No total in this one set yet because of Anthony Davis, which is, you know, makes a lot of sense. Davis nursing the hip injury. Shout out to Kyle O'Quinn. $25,000 fine for O'Quinn. Man, there used to be a day in this league where big guys for the Knicks used to throw people out of bounds and they didn't even get called for a foul. Just looking at you, Charles Oakley. Gosh, I love Charles Oakley. Anyway, so Davis is carrying that game time decision tag. But you know what he said the other day to the media? He said, I'm good. It's just a bruise. It's nothing serious. I just got to get some treatment. And I should be good to go. So it looks like he's going to go. Booker is in the same situation on the Brooklyn side of the ball. Booker, hip injury, but should be good to go. It's just kind of bruising. Moving on, Chicago at New York, 203 total in this one. New York favored by 3, which is not saying much. They're at home. They're a mess. TJ McConnell is the GOAT. That was awesome. That was awesome, McConnell, last night with the game winner against New York. And poor Carmelo just like so deeply, deeply broken by TJ McConnell running off the floor with the winner. And as he should be. The Knicks are just a disaster right now, and it's terrible to watch. Anyway, they're going to be a disaster for a while too, because they have so much money tied up in, you know, like Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose, and it's just not good. Anyway, all right, Bulls at Knicks. On the Bulls side of the ball, Dwayne Wade is probable. Butler and Mirotic are both out. So you know, you got to look at Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott is going to play. I know he's super tilting and terrifying because he just absolutely destroyed people the other night, but McDermott is going to play. Rondo also out there. Good matchup for Rondo, but he'll probably come off the bench. News is saying that he is not going to be the starter. He will be kind of the second man behind Michael Carter Williams, which I don't know. I mean, I guess they're still trying to teach him a lesson. Kind of a messy situation, although I have no idea how it's going to work out. Moving on, we've got the Lakers traveling down to San Antonio. San Antonio coming off that loss to the Bucks, 210 total in this one, but Spurs are 14.5-point favorites. No real news in this one. LaMarcus Aldridge was sick, but he's extremely likely to play, so you can get LaMarcus Aldridge back in there in a really plus matchup against the Lakers, to be honest with you. You know, it's kind of a hard game to predict. Get a little bit nervous about blowout here. It's very, very realistic for the Lakers to just get totally defensively shut down by the Spurs coming off that loss to the Bucks. I just don't think that Pop is going to really allow the Lakers to come in there and do any good work. And then we've got Dallas at Phoenix. I mean, okay, great. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to watch a Mavericks game this season. they are just brutally slow, boring, and like very difficult to predict from a fantasy perspective. So yeah. Anyway, 202 total in this one. Mavs are favored by 1. This is kind of a rematch from last week. Andrew Bogut is the only injury news, likely out, still nursing that hamstring that Karl Anthony Towns gave to him after he took him to work. You know, not a ton you love about this game, to be honest with you. Moving on, Detroit at Golden State, 218 total in this one, but Warriors favored by 13. These two teams met a while ago, and Golden State Golden State got a run for their money, but if I remember correctly, they ultimately won that game. John Lohr likely out. Keep an eye on the John Lohr news, which mostly affects Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris. And even more Harris. We'll talk more Harris in just a second. Harris gets a minutes bump there. Klay Thompson should be back in the lineup after being sick the other day. You know, if you're interested in Klay tonight, he is back. But it's kind of hard to like the Warriors. You're afraid of a blowout in this one. All right, let's go ahead and break down the slate for tonight. Top tier players that I absolutely love. Who do you love? All right, tonight. Well, okay, so tonight, not really tonight. All day slate versus main day slate. So I'm going to qualify a couple of these plays. You know, if you're playing the all day slate, I've got some plays for you here. I've got some notes for you here. And on the main slate, I'll have some pivots for you as well. So at point guard, all day slate, Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague is just a cash game beauty at 8,100. You absolutely love. He's at 32 minutes. He's averaging 32 minutes, 22% usage rate. On the season, he's 15, 5, and 11. Denver is terrible against the point guard. The only team that's worse is Brooklyn. And Teague went for 55 against Brooklyn. So if you're playing the all-day slate, I really feel like Teague is a lock and load. Now, moving over to the main slate, you know, the best point guard on that, you know, the best high-priced option there is Steph. He's all the way up to 9K. He was 81 earlier in the week, which, you know, I don't know. I think you should probably start to set a rule. Like if Steph's price goes below, you know, if Steph's price goes below 85, you should always consider him because he's got a 50-point ceiling. And if games stay competitive, he really, really starts to go off, which is what we saw this week. He's playing extremely well of late. You know, he probably heard all the whispers and the whispers about how he's in a slump, quote unquote. I mean, give me a break. The guy shoots 90% from the line, 40% from three. Overall, he's like 50% from these. It's just ridiculous, the percentages. And he, you know, he's elite. So, you know, anybody who's trying to make a controversy over Steph Curry, good luck. So he's back to 9K, but he's playing really well. So, you know, GPP play for sure. Feel fine rostering Steph. You know, Detroit is pretty average against the point guard. Reggie Jackson just hasn't been the same defensively. So, okay, not bad. Down to shooting guard. I don't care if you're on the all-day slate versus the main slate. The stud of the shooting guard position, he's the highest price guy, is Dwayne Wade at 6'9". And the reason he is, you know, the lock, and he will be chalky. He will be super chalky. He's the lock because Jimmy is out. And when Jimmy is out, Wade just absolutely explodes. He has a 39% usage rate and averages 1.2 FanDuel points per minute. He's got the Knicks tonight, which, that was his ceiling game in 2017. That's his ceiling. He was 45 FanDuel points, 35 and 10 assists. You know, great opportunity for D Wade tonight. I think you have to lock him into almost 100% of your lineups. Nicest thing about Dwayne Wade is, you know, looking at his splits on 2 days rest, which he's coming off. He's coming off the rest. You know, he was rested at Washington. He was rested. You know, had the day off yesterday. He's plus 21. So you have to give Dwayne Wade 2 days rest in order for him to be effective. And I think that that's a key stat to remember, that that's his best situation. Knicks right now are just tanking. They are allowing 114 points on average in their last three games, and on the season, 26 in defensive efficiency. So you love Wade tonight. Feel good about locking him all over the place. At small forward, the highest price small forward option is KD. You know, and you always feel decent about KD. He's so deadly consistent. You know, he is like a lock for 45 to 50 points. He gets his numbers pretty much every single night. He is priced at 10-3. which is not your favorite price, but had 46 points last time out against Detroit. But at that time, he was priced at 8-8, which is like one of his lowest of the year. You know, very similar to Steph. I feel like when we see KD's price drop into, you know, anywhere below 9-5, you have to automatically consider him because there's just certain players you got to price watch. You know, you know what their numbers are going to be. You know what their opportunity is. You know their talent level. And when the price is right, you have to jump on them. And, you know, this is not that price point for KD. 10-3 is pretty high for him. But, you know, he definitely profiles a little bit more as a GPP play. You can play him in cash if you feel like the if you're just kind of not comfortable with small forward position, pay for him. He does have to hit 52 points to go value. That's 6 plus points above average. And, you know, Detroit's defense is top 10 against the small forward. But honestly, it's hard to neutralize Kevin Durant, really. There's not many teams in the league who've done it this year. And I don't think that Detroit will be one of them. So Kevin Durant in GPPs, absolutely fine. At power forward, Anthony Davis is 11-8. The Brow coming off the 70 burger. You love the matchup against Brooklyn. But the questionable tag is absolutely terrifying. You know, we do know that he said he's feeling okay and he should go. That's great. You know, if he tells people he's feeling good, that's nice. You know, and a bruise is just a bruise, right? They can figure that out. You know, the foot problems and stuff in December, that makes you a little bit more nervous because that's the thing that the general manager calls down to the coach and says, hey, get him out of there. I don't want him over 20 minutes tonight. You know, if he's got this foot injury, because God, foot injuries will just, they'll kill you. You know, you worry about Davis missing time because he does miss time. He is kind of a fragile player. You hope he doesn't. I just hope from a career perspective that it's just not Anthony Davis injury stories for the rest of, you know, the coming years. Price jumped $1,000 after that 70-point game. So at 11-8, he's got to hit 59 points tonight to hit value. Good news is he's done that 13 out of 37 times this year, and mostly against teams that are pace up with poor defensive ratings. Okay, so he's done it against the Lakers, the Blazers. He did it against Brooklyn already once this year, against the Nuggets. You know, Davis, that's exactly what Brooklyn is. They're like, you know, top 5 in pace and bottom 5 in defense. So you're always targeting the Nets and, you know, you love Davis in this matchup against the Nets front court. So, you know, feel really good about Brow on the main slate. He's an option everywhere, but on the main slate, he's one of your best choices. Down at center, on the opposite side of the ball, it's Brooke Lopez at 7K. Now, if you're on the all-day slate, you also have Miles Turner right there. And I love Miles Turner, but, you know, because it's a plus matchup with Denver and Turner just has a, you know, kind of has an excellent run of late. You really, really like that. But if you're on the main slate, it's Lopez. Lopez at 7K. You know, the price is a little bit down for Lopez. It's been higher this year. But Lopez still has a 28% usage rate, which is one of the highest on the Nets. He's got the most consistent minutes. The backcourt for the Nets is just a disaster, right? Good luck figuring out the whole Hollis Jefferson, Sean Kilpatrick, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Harris, Isaiah Whitehead situation. It's crazy. The person on the Nets who's the most consistent used and the most consistent minutes is Brooke Lopez, 32 minutes a game. You know, New Orleans has been a target over the season at the center position, and they are improving. They're definitely improving their work against the center, but they're still just below average. So, you know, you like Lopez in this spot. He's averaging 32 FanDuel points on the season. You know, I don't see any reason why he doesn't hit 35 against the Pelicans with the banged up Anthony Davis. No, I mean, there's just, you know, it's good. It's a good spot for Brook, and you know, you feel comfortable with him in this. There's not really any caveats. Now, you know, you may be saying to yourself, well, Mondre Drummond, what do you think of him? I don't mind Drummond at all, but he's profiles as a GPP play. You know, Drummond is just so up and down. He's been playing really decently lately. Like, from a fantasy perspective, he's put up good numbers. So if you're game log, if you're watching, you know, don't get chasey, but he's playing well. And Golden State is not a world beater against the center. They just really aren't, you know. Shout out to Zaza Pachulia, number two in the All-Star voting. Got no love for Zaza Pachulia. I got to be honest with you. I've said it before. I'll say it again. No love for Zaza. Drummond, though, GPP play. You know, at 8,100, he's going to be – I don't really see him owned above 15%. So you kind of like that. You don't necessarily love paying for Andre Drummond unless you know you feel like unless you feel like the matchup is a lock. All right, the mid-tier guys, fantasy grout, mid-price dudes to fill in around. We're aiming for that 5 to 8K range. Starting out at the point guard, it's Jrue Holiday. Holiday has had this is a salary change situation, right? We're always watching salaries. Salaries drop. You feel good about a guy with a dropping salary because of regression to the mean. You know, Holiday's salary has been as high as 7.4. It's been in the sevens most of the season. And now it's down to 6.8, right? He's not doing a ton of scoring, but he does average, one FanDuel point per minute without Anthony Davis on the floor. So if he's very, very appealing. There's actually a lot of appeal in Holiday, Tyreke Evans, and Terrence Jones if Anthony Davis can't go. But it looks like Davis will go. So it doesn't really change much for Holiday, except for, you know, he does get 5% extra usage. He goes to 28 versus a normal 23. Minutes are secure for Holiday. Usage rate is secure for Holiday. You love him against Brooklyn, who's one of the worst against the point guard position. You know, we had, you know, like I said, you know, Jeff Teague profiles very similar to Holiday, kind of all around point guard, safe floor, consistent minutes, you know, not a world beater scoring, but he's going to, you know, he's going to get you some rebounds. He's going to get you some assists, you know, could go over 10 assists. And so Holiday's in a very similar spot. Teague went for 55. He caught fire, but you know, Holiday is in a good position here against the Nets. At shooting guard, it was, you know, Dwayne Wade fits the profile for mid tier, right? So just to emphasize, Dwayne Wade. I think we'll probably play Dwayne Wade. Anyway, process of elimination for the rest of those guys. Okay. Middle of this, you know, 5-6K range where you're kind of, you know, this is where this slate kind of gets ugly. At shooting guard, actually, the more I think about it, this slate, the main slate, is ugly. If the all-day slate was the main slate, you wouldn't feel nearly as bad about it because you feel decent about the Nuggets and the Pacers, but the main slate is kind of ugly. Can't be Devin Booker, okay? Dallas pace down. Booker did not hit value last time out against the Mavericks. I don't think it can be Clay. KCP is top 20 in shooting guards against in defensive plus minus. Clay's going to get KCP, and you know you have possible blowout situation. You always have a blowout situation with Golden State. And I don't think it can be Wes Matthews. Since Dirk has returned, Matthews' usage has gone through the floor. He just isn't not through the floor. That's not fair, but he just isn't, having to do as much as he used to. And we don't really love playing the Mavs. We don't like playing the Mavericks because you don't know who's going to score and they don't score a lot. So, you know, you kind of end up landing on, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. KCP, Priced at 5'9", which is a perfectly reasonable price for him. 34 FD points last time against Golden State. You've got a pace-up situation. He's going to play a ton of minutes. Last two games, he's gotten 40 minutes. You know, because I think he's the most consistent defender on Detroit, which Van Gundy has been very frustrated about. And, you know, the reason that Marcus Morris isn't playing, because he doesn't play defense. KCP does play defense. He plays damn good defense. So, you know, you feel good about his minutes. You feel good about his price. You're not thrilled with him, but he does have upside. You know, he could easily go above 35. So, you know, I think he's safe. But I'm not, you know, I'm not jumping to roster him. If he falls to me, great. You know, as I'm building, if he falls to me, that's wonderful. But, you know, I don't have to play Kentavious Caldwell-Pope tonight. At small forward, it's interesting. So we have two different mid-tier guys that you feel decent about. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Now, Paul George is only on the all-day slate. Kawhi's on both, obviously, main slate as well. They profile extremely similarly. 36 and 39 FanDuel points respectively. Both are in good matchups, pace-up games against poor defenses. Both have a floor in the 20s, 22 for George, 25 for Kawhi. Ceilings, 46 and 51. The price difference, however, is huge. The price difference is $1K almost. And then the matchup is a little bit different as well. You know, okay, Spurs are favored by 14. You have a far bigger blowout risk in the Spurs game than you do with the Pacers game. You know, so it's in the better plus minus matchup really is for Paul George. The Lakers are positionally very strong against the small forward because Luol Deng plays 30 minutes there, and Luol Deng has made a career being a rock-solid defender and rebounder. You know, so Kawhi, I don't think he's going to have a problem against Luol Deng, to be clear. Like, Kawhi is elite, but if you're picking one, if you're on the main slate, if you're on the all-day slate, you're picking one, it's probably George. Okay, we broke this down the other day. We're looking at Kawhi's game logs. Kawhi doesn't hit ceiling. He doesn't hit projections unless he plays the fourth quarter. And you know Popovich is very careful about minutes. You know, okay, in that Bucks game, Bucks took it all the way to the last possession. What happened? Kawhi hit ceiling, 52 points. You look at the game logs, and you know, in the game before, they're up by 16 going into the third quarter, something like that. Kawhi only hits 25 points. He basically hits floor. Popovich does not care about your fantasy team. He cares about his players' minutes. And so you have to be careful about Kawhi Leonard in this one. And I just don't see any need to play him on the all-day slate. Now, on the main slate, it's a little bit thin. It's a little bit thin at power forward. Small forward. So you might find yourself with some Kawhi shares. But, you know, you could do worse than one of the best small forwards in the league. Power forward, Tobias Harris, baby. 6K, you know, you'd think that, like, okay, the John Lohr situation, all right, oh, yes, definitely. If Lohr's out, he's the beneficiary. Well, it's not the case necessarily in usage or fantasy points per minute or anything like that. But it is definitely the case in minutes. Last two games with Lohr out, Harris has gotten 38 and 39 minutes. He's super consistent, 80% consistency rating in the last 10 games. He's hitting his numbers. Exceeding value. He's priced to hit 30 tonight. He hit 34 last time against Golden State. You know, he's almost exactly the same as KCP. Profile's very similar. Minutes, usage, matchup, all of that stuff. But the reality is that there's some places to spend down at shooting guard, and there's not so much at power forward. So you find yourself wanting to roster Harris for the consistency rather than Caldwell Pope. Now, if you're playing the all-day slate, you have Nikola Jokic as a really nice option. If any of the Pacers sit, I love Jokic. I don't care who it is. if it's at shooting guard or small forward, if it's Gallinari or Harris or, you know, any of these guys who are carrying game time tags for Reed, especially Jokic, just, he's got a super high usage rate right now. And the Nuggets are kind of frustrating because their rotations are unclear because they play like 10 players every night. But Jokic definitely would get, I think, more minutes, more usage if any of those guys, primaries, are out. So keep your eye on the news, and if you're playing the main day slate, you feel good about Jokic, averaging 39 FD points in the last five games. He's got a season high in price, you know, and the Pacers are top 10 against the power forward, but the reality is this is going to be a competitive game. And if Jokic gets, you know, 32 to 35 minutes because someone's sitting, you know, you have to love him to hit value at what he needs, which is his average 39 FD points. And he's got a wonderful ceiling. He always does, because he just stuffs the stat sheet at both ends. Oh, by the way, Dirk is back, man. 5,500 at power forward. You feel decent about the price. Minutes are coming up. Matchup against Phoenix is good. I don't know. I mean, he's really old, and I don't like the Mavericks. So I don't know how much of Dirk I'm going to be interested in. But if you are a Dirk guy, which I know some people out there are Dirk people, then, you know, go for it. I've never loved Dirk Nowitzki, you know, kind of on the back half of his career. I don't get it. I don't know why people are paying him still. But that's, you know, that's my personal Dirk take. You can definitely roster him tonight. If he falls to you, okay, he falls to you. At center, mid-tier guy, interesting, Tyson Chandler. I don't mind Tyson Chandler at all tonight. I feel like maybe he'll be a little bit low ownership. He's always a little bit lower ownership, but priced at 5,200, he scored 29 last time against Dallas, which was 6x at the current price. Dallas, we know, is a terrible rebounding team, last in the league in rebounding, which is what pretty much all Chandler does. He is the leading rebounder on the Suns, and he had 15 rebounds that game. So, I mean, you know, if he gets, give me 10 points and 12 rebounds, Tyson Chandler, that's not crazy. 10 points, 12 rebounds, he hits value, and you feel really good about him. So, you know, interesting option there at 5,200. All right, moving on to the bargain basement, the sub 4-5 value guys. You know, we mention building lineups from the bottom up. When you find your value guys that you love, that you want to lock in, you know, below 5K, below 4-5, lock them in, build up from there. You know, I think the value guys recently, we've been kind of killing it with value guys. We felt, you know, our below 5K guys on the pod have been hitting value. It's the studs that are kind of killing us. Whatever. So frustrating to see the line from Alan Crabb last night when we were on him in LA, the LA game, and he goes off against the Cavs. You know what? And the really frustrating part is the evidence was there. The Cavs are not good against the shooting guard because they have that weird rotation with Liggins and McRae and Shumpert, and they're just not getting it done. And okay, and now Kyle Korver. Who cares? You know, Crabb was, if you were spending down at shooting guard, it was Crabb that should have popped, and Crawford popped just because of the ridiculous price. Frustrating. Anyway, all right. Below 4-5, there's bulls. There are bulls available. Rondo at 4-4. Michael Carter Williams at 4-8. Doug McDermott, 4K, I believe, actually 39 maybe. And then Taj is only 5K, which actually you love Taj at 5K. I didn't talk about him in the mid-tier guys because at 5K, you know he's going to get the minutes. Front court of the Knicks is bad. Great matchup for Taj. You feel really good about that price as well. He could easily go for 30. Easy go for 30 and hit 6X for you. And Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez is 4-2. Also a great, great front court matchup against the Bulls. So Robin Lopez is like lock and load almost at 4-2. You know, if you're building from there, you feel good. I don't know how to deal with the Rondo, Michael Carter Williams situation. You know, people are going to be on Rondo tonight. And I think there probably is reason to be on Rondo tonight. Knicks are terrible against the point guard. Rondo's consistency is brutal. There are games where he just disappears. And, you know, if Carter Williams is playing well, then Hoiberg's probably not going to give him a ton of minutes. So he's risky. At shooting guard, a couple interesting options tonight. Buddy Hield is in play. He's in play. He's still kind of a punt play, but he's getting a ton of minutes and he's playing Brooklyn. We're always targeting Brooklyn. He's not really the price is going up, but it's not really terrible. Definitely more in play if Davis is out, as is all of the Pelicans get a bump if Davis is out. But he should be in. On the opposite side of the ball, Sean Kilpatrick. I mean, he is just the puntiest of punts. He just hasn't been getting it done, but you know he has a massive ceiling. He's just not getting the minutes, and that backcourt for the Nets is terrifying. So, you know, if you are someone who is going to make 100 GPP lineups, then okay, fine, have some Kilpatrick, but do not have a lot of them. The Will Barton, Gary Harris situation is interesting on the all-day slate. It looks like Gary Harris is going to give it a go, which kind of crushes Will Barton. You know, you were looking at Barton maybe if Harris was going to sit, but you don't really look at Barton if Harris is in there. At small forward, you're looking at Bojan Bogdanovic, baby. He's a starter. 30 minutes in the last three games. You love the matchup against the Pelicans. He only needs 20 points. I think he's at 4-2. You only need 20 points to hit value there with Bogdanovic. He's at 4-4. I definitely have some Bogdanovic love today. Matchup minutes, it's good. You also have Luol Deng, though. You know, he's at 4-5. He's getting 30 minutes basically every night. He's the most consistent player that the Lakers have. You know, and clearly he can handle the minutes. You worry about the old man, you know, not being able to handle the minutes, but he can. Not a great matchup against Leonard, but he's probably going to play. So Dwight Powell also in play. Bogut is out. When Bogut was out, Powell was getting a boost in minutes. And Powell at 3-8 in the power forward slot, it's like the cheapest play on the board today really is Dwight Powell. So, you know, you could do worse. Powell's one of the better rebounders on the Mavericks. And he may get 20 minutes, but you know, he's not going to start and Dirk is back. So he's coming off the bench. So be careful. You know, in the same vein, you're going to probably see some Salamerge. I cannot say that man's name. Salamerge? I don't know. It's terrible. I feel so, so, so ignorant not being able to say that. Sorry, Salamerge. Anyway, I don't know if he's going to give it a go tonight, but if Bogut is out, which Bogut is trending towards out, and, you know, then he might be in play for another, you know, 20 minutes. But again, Powell and Salamerge are very, very kind of risky punt plays. There's a lot, there's just better options, you know. Play Robin Lopez. It's a better choice. Just play Robin Lopez. Quick update. Just got news. Looks like LaMarcus Aldridge is a go, likely to go here. So LaMarcus Aldridge in play on the main slate for sure against the Lakers, who are just kind of brutal against the power forward. I don't know if I don't believe I talked about Aldridge, but I really do. I think you could do worse than Aldridge tonight. All right, let's go ahead and let's take a look at lineup lock. Going to provide you guys with an all-day lineup as well as a main slate lineup. You'll notice that a lot of the core players are the same because that's kind of the idea. Remember, these are – I'm going to put them in play in my cash games in 50-50s. The goal is 300 points always, but I consider these your core, not necessarily they're pieces to build around, I guess is my point. Pieces to build around. You know, you take these lineups, you tweak, you pivot, you move to other players that you feel comfortable. Use this as an idea. It's a starting place for high quality lineups. All right. So on the all day slate, we're going with point guard Jeff Teague and Jrue Holiday. At shooting guard, it's Dwayne Wade and KCP, Caldwell Pope. At small forward, it's Paul George and Bogdanovich. And then power forward, it's Jokic and Gibson. Center is Miles Turner. Notice no one priced above 9K in that lineup. Nice kind of fair and balanced cash lineup. You know, decent lineup for a 50-50. Nice floors throughout all of those players. So feel comfortable plugging any of those guys in. You know, and if you want to pivot and get on KD or Davis, go for it. Moving on to the main slate. Point guard, Jrue Holiday. Again, at point guard two, it's Steph. You know, no Teague out there, and it may be Reggie Jackson, but I thought Steph has a nicer ceiling. At shooting guard, it's Dwayne Wade and Buddy Hield. Small forward, it's Bogdanovich and Dang. Getting off of Kawhi right there. Without Paul George, I don't trust Kawhi's minutes. I got to be honest with you. I'd rather go with Luol Deng's 30 minutes and let him rebound the basketball. At power forward, it's Anthony Davis and Taj Gibson. And then at center, it's Brooke Lopez. So you're going to notice point guard, we have Holiday, Wade, Bogdanovich, Gibson, all as kind of core players in both lineups, and then pivoting off of them via main slate players versus all day slate. You know, one of the nice things that you can do on the all-day slate is you can play your main slate lineup. All those guys are available. It's kind of, you know, an interesting, maybe low ownership option. I try to, you know, employ that strategy in NFL sometimes. All right, that is it for me today, guys. Hey, continue the love on Twitter. Please, please, please shout me out. Retweet. You can find me. I'm Hey Mr. Kane. Hey Mr. Kane. Happy to answer questions about the slate, the player, any resources that I like. I'm going to continue to help you guys try to find resources that I find useful. Retweet, comment, share. Good luck in your contests. I will see you tomorrow.